Yeah. You know, Virgil got his job by flopping his dick out on Pat Patterson's desk.
Really?
Yeah, dude, because Virgil's got a huge dick. So, and Pat Patterson loves dicks. So, like, Virgil's like, well, have a look at this. Plop. And Pat Patterson's like, oh my god, is that a hose? And he hired him on the spot.
Fair enough.
That's the story of how Virgil got his job. Almost wish I would have told that on the show now.
Oh, you can put this before the show. Well, here comes the pain! I am the greatest WWE champion of all time. I'm the whole show. Who has enough ruthless aggression?
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Hawkeye Jefferson, and you are listening to the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. With me, as always, who do I have? Who's with me? Who is this person?
I need no introduction.
That's right. He doesn't.
Well, you know who this guy is by now, yeah.
Yeah, let's not even play games anymore. If you're hearing me, you're hearing him.
Exactly.
Just how it works around here.
It's a foregone conclusion now.
So, what's happening, buddy? How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty damn good, actually. A little bit tired, but I guess that's life.
Yeah, it happens. At least we had a little bit lighter workload for the show this week.
Yeah, I think every time you ask me how I am, I tell you I'm tired.
It's okay. It's all right, I have to make stuff up so that I don't just always say, man, I'm so fucking exhausted.
That's a skill I need to learn.
It's handy, especially in my line of work. Like, if you walk up to some customers and they're like, how are you doing this morning? You're like, dude, I had to get up at fucking 4 a.m. to be here. Don't ask me questions. You don't get tipped well.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's an awful time to be awake. Let me just throw that out there.
Yeah,
but only if you're just waking up at that time.
Yeah, like, some days I get up for school at about that hour, and it's just, it ain't fun.
No, it is not. And what else wasn't fun? This fucking show that we're reviewing.
Yeah, this wasn't the best.
Holy shit, I'm sorry in advance for this one, you guys. This probably isn't going to be the best review.
Just prefixing this, like, this is basically a televised house show we're reviewing.
Yes, I've gotten my notes. Insurrection 2002. Some would argue that this is a televised house show. Those people host this show. This is a random jumble of just fucking matches thrown out there.
Yeah, this is just...
with some angles in between, like enough angles for it to count as a pay-per-view, I guess.
Like, it had more angles in it than WrestleMania 29, but...
It did.
It didn't have the match quality.
No. There was, no... I'm actually struggling to remember a match that happened at WrestleMania 29 that's not Undertaker versus CM Punk. Because that match was awesome.
What did Daniel Bryan do at WrestleMania 29? He was in a tag team match, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Probably.
He's
being wasted
him
around
and
that
Kane,
time.
Versus Team Rocket.
Oh, yeah. That happened. Holy shit, that happened.
That did happen.
That had like three of my favorite people involved, and I forgot it.
Yeah.
Actually, four, because I love Kane.
Fair enough.
I really do love Kane. Like, we're going to get to some goofy, weird Kane shit. And this time period was just when my appreciation for Kane was starting to grow, because holy shit, did he do some weird, goofy stuff around this time and just get away with it. But we're just getting really off course here.
Because
Kane was not even on this show. Holy wow, okay. The neighborhood animals are excited.
They're excited for the review. Maybe we should get to it.
Maybe we should get to it. Insurrection 2002, May 4th, from the Wembley Arena in London, England. The last ever WWF show.
Ever.
This was it, and it was not something that they mentioned. Like, if you were, like, if you were watching this show with no knowledge that the name change was going to be happening, like, 2 days later, like, you would have no indication.
At all.
Like, they've still got the Scratch logo everywhere, which was a fucking ballsy move. Because using that logo internationally is what got them in trouble in the first place. So it's like, fuck it, it's our last night with the logo, put it on everything.
Like, it's just, like, it's plastered.
Tattoo it to Rikishi's ass and send him out there.
Oh, God. And he can give the stink face to a panda.
Yeah. Fuck those pandas. We're gonna have Brock Lesnar beat up a baby seal. Which was basically what that match was for the time.
Now I'm imagining. Now I'm imagining Lesnar giving the F5 to a baby seal.
He did it to a shark. He can do it to a seal.
What?
It was. Have you not seen this?
I have not.
Oh man, it's about a year, a little over a year away in the timeline of the show. But there was a commercial for SummerSlam 2003 where like people were on a beach, and so I was just like, shark! And Brock Lesnar just like, got this, bitches, and just runs out in the ocean and F5s the shit out of a great white shark.
What?
Which I don't understand how that's really effective for him to just like basically toss a shark into the air and then back into water. Like, if he really wanted to fuck it up, like, he would have brought it onto the beach. Like, he F5'd it into the lifeguard tower.
What the fuck?
It was a rubber shark, too. He got a rubber shark. Yeah, this is another instance of, I'll post this to the show's Twitter, because even though it's a long way away in the timeline, this needs to be seen.
Brock Lesnar F5's a shark.
Brock Lesnar F5's a motherfucking shark. Jaws does not have shit on the Minnesota murder machine.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm pushing the shit out of that nickname on the show, by the way.
You are.
Like, they need to get that on a t-shirt now.
The Minnesota Murder Machine.
Seriously, you can't tell me you wouldn't buy a t-shirt that said that.
Well, I guess I might if I was from Minnesota.
You don't even need to be from Minnesota. I've never even seen a Minnesota before.
Well, I have the Antonio Cesaro shirt, and I'm not Swiss, American, or European, so...
Exactly. Who needs labels? I'm wearing the Yes Movement shirt right now, and never once have I had a beard.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying. So, let's get to this fucking review that we've been promising to get to for like 10 minutes now.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've introduced where we're at and what we're reviewing. So, this show started out with just a fucking horrible video package.
I liked it, actually.
You liked it? I kind of felt like it was it almost felt YouTube-ish. Like something that somebody cut together, like, here's highlights of what this show is going to be about.
Let's
hear what you had to say about. Like, let's hear your view.
There's not a whole lot to say about it. I thought, like, obviously this, like, when you're going into this, would just be a televised house show, so I really wasn't expecting anything like this. And, like even though these were pretty much just throwaway matches that we'd probably see again on the next show or whatever, like, yeah, I enjoyed the video package. It was cool.
I think my favorite part of the whole video package was... Okay, neighborhood animals, calm your shit. We're trying to do a show over here. Damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it. You're fired.
Those animals are fired.
I just fired my pets on the show. It's getting real already.
Your move, Vince McMahon.
Your move, Vince. I'm not going to hire the audience and fire them, though. Because I don't want that to be a joke that gets run into the ground for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so My one big note before we get to the first match was there was just a sign that said "Big Freak" in the audience. So,
does that mean that guy's a big freak, or
like I don't know if he was like bringing like a sign like that was a nickname that he made up for someone. He's like, "Oh, I'm here in support of Big Freak," and they answer, "I was like, who the fuck is Big Freak?" He's like, "Oh, you know, the kid from Minnesota, the murdering one."
Is this
He's almost as if he's a machine.
Is this the same tour that gave us the plane ride from hell?
I think so, actually.
Oh, man, the stories from that.
See, like, I would rather review that plane ride than this pay-per-view.
Oh, God, we should do that as a bonus episode.
I wish that we could review Folklore. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you would pull that one off.
You know, we could probably do it.
I don't know. Has anyone ever reviewed, like, road stories? Like, one specific one, like, well, you see, somebody got their hair cut, there was wrestling in the aisle, somebody
Rick
got
Flair.
Choked out,
Ric
Flair was naked.
Yeah. He did the strut and nothing but his robe.
Nothing but his robe, gold dust, crazy as a motherfucker on that flight. Then again, most of everything that Dustin did at this point could be described as crazy as a motherfucker.
Yeah.
We still love him, though. I'm actually really disappointed, because looking at the Wikipedia page for this show, a.k.a. How I Time Matches, Goldust and Mr. Perfect was the fucking dark match for this show.
Why the fuck is that a dark match? I'd rather see that over, like, there's, like half of this card may as well not have happened.
Half of this card is things that I would rather see less than Mr. Perfect against Goldust.
Exactly.
Like, even in 2002, that sounds like a quality match. So if anybody knows where we can see it, go ahead and tweet it to us at Ruthless Podcast.
Cheap plug.
Cheap plug. Is it really a cheap plug if we own the show, though?
Well...
I own this company, damn it!
I'll plug it whenever I like.
Oh, this is just going to turn into a Vince McMahon fan club bonus episode. This show needed more Vince.
That's what
was missing. It needed more Vince and more Kurt Angle. Those were the two ingredients that just it seems to have been working the best recently, for us at least.
Yeah.
Because everything else that we love, they just keep ruining.
They ruined The Undertaker for me, damn it.
They did. They ruined this first match for me, because we started out with RVD against Eddie Guerrero in an Intercontinental title rematch from last week, well, last month in the timeline, Backlash, which, if you recall, we fucking loved that match.
That match was gangbusters.
Yeah, like, I was really excited to, like, see this match.
Yeah, this one was on its way to being really, really good as well, but...
It was, and then they ruined it.
They ruined it. The fuckers.
Damn it! Come on, guys. Quit ruining things that we love 12 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, we would love things that happened 12 years ago so much more if you would do them the way that we want them now. Come on. Think with your fucking heads, you guys. That's why you're in the state that you're in with awesome stock and... Very successful business on all ends, actually. Anyway, we actually glossed over something last week that I kind of want to talk about just for a second.
Uh-huh.
And that was Eddie's frog splash to win the match at Backlash. Holy shit, that distance.
I know, right? I didn't notice
it's three
it until
quarters
the
of the week.
Package.
Yeah, like, I didn't notice it. Like, I noticed it in this video. Three quarters of the ring this guy covers. Like, dearly, like, there's got to be something in that mullet.
It's like
it's got to make him more aerodynamic or something.
It's like a frog splash propulsion unit hidden in his mullet.
Frog splash propulsion unit.
Yes.
Is that, I figured that something like that would work more like an Iron Man situation. Or maybe that's just for RVD so he can, like, change direction in midair.
I guess so. It's like the Battle of the Frog Splash in hand.
Yeah.
Like, you've got, like, RVD can change direction in midair, because he's got, like...
Individual propulsion.
Yeah.
On his hands and feet.
And Eddie just has this one unit in his mullet that lets him travel further.
He gets like just a booster.
Well, like scientifically examining a fucking frog splash.
With just absurd theories. Just
hey,
it's not even scientific.
It's not
it's
not a theory. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Rob Van Dam's hands and feet are fucking magic. His feet are also educated. That maybe that's how he does it. His educated feet help him change his direction. Like, King had a weird line on commentary here when RVD was doing his entrance, like, because JR said something about, he wondered what was on RVD's mind, and King goes, there's nothing in RVD's mind, dude. Like, he said dude, like, so angrily. Like, I don't get Jerry Lawler. Like, he's almost become the Nick Cage of commentary at this point. Like, he just says stupid shit in a dumb voice, and he talks at random volumes. And that's supposed to work out to be entertaining, but it's just damn well not. Get your shit together, Lawler. You're on notice 12 years ago now.
God, if he was on notice 12 years ago, what the fuck's he on now?
He's on double secret notice.
Double secret notice, I think, would be a few levels above that.
Okay. Is there anything higher than that, Dean Vernon?
Triple double Omega Sierra classified notice.
Okay.
That's what he's on.
That's way too fucking long to remember, and will probably never be brought up again.
Exactly.
But you're on notice, Lawler.
Yeah.
Get your shit together 12 years ago. I never thought I'd get to a point in my life where I would be thinking, God damn, I can't wait to hear Taz more often.
Yeah.
Like, Taz's commentary is what I need, right? Give me Taz and Cole over Lawler.
Give me Taz, like, impersonating a dove. That's what I need.
Taz impersonating a dove.
It happened!
It fucking happened! I don't doubt that. I'm so glad it's not gonna be TNA Taz. Like, cause this Taz is just as ridiculous as the TNA version. But he's got, like, this whole different set of absurd catchphrases. Like, I learned the term pin cover from this version of Taz that we're gonna get here soon. Pin cover! It's not a pinfall, it's a pin cover.
No, it's a pin cover.
It's a rocket buster. Not for nothing.
Oh, we're way off topic again.
We are way I don't care, though. Like,
yeah, there's not much to say about this match. It was cool, but the finish sucked. Let's talk about the finish.
Okay, well, let me just say real quick, the opening sequence was fucking awesome.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Like, they did a lot of really quick kind of technical lucha, almost ECW-inspired, you know, very quick work. It ended with RVD doing a moonsault to the outside off the apron, which is fucking awesome every time he does it. And he does a great tope leg drop as well. We get a pretty great fucking tope con hilo from Eddie, which is just something that I will always mark for, and
yeah,
I
mark for the hilo every time I see it.
It's such a simple move,
but it
looks cool, and Eddie always uses it at the perfect time in the match.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a substitute for a rest hold.
Hmm.
A flipping rest hold, if you will. Like,
Eddie
can catch his breath while
and
flipping
Austin
through
Harris.
The air. The vascular vegan could totally do it.
What?
That's one of Austin Aries' nicknames. Come on, get with the trends, kiddo.
The vascular vegan.
I thought you youngsters were supposed to be hip.
No one says hip anymore.
Okay. Thank you. We're getting a fucking lesson in slang for old man Jefferson.
Old
get
man
off
Jefferson.
My lawn, you goddamn hipsters!
Oh, shut up with that anti-hipster crap. You're the biggest hipster I know.
How many hipsters do you know?
You. Well, I wasn't lying.
The defense rests, Your Honor. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go listen to a bunch of bands you've never heard of.
Oh.
That's actually something I've said before leaving a room just to be a dickhead. Like, I was really upset this last week. Here's another fucking conversational detour before we get to the finish of this match.
Uh-huh.
I was really upset this week while watching a YouTube video of Jimmy Kimmel bit, where he went around, he sent someone around South by Southwest, and they talked to these hipsters. And they, like, made up bands. And, like, they just, you know, cut together the dumb ones that were just like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that band. Yeah, totally. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I've been the dickhead in the room just making up bands.
How many people say they've heard of the bands you've made up?
All of them.
Oh, God.
I've never been called on my shit once. Like, you guys have to understand, like, Wyoming has an unreasonably disproportionate amount of hipsters in comparison to, like, say, Montana. Or, like, anywhere. Like, there are so many more hipsters in Wyoming than, like, what you would expect. And so, like, I don't know how, but I always end up at these parties where there's, like, people in flannel and thick glasses. And, like, there's someone wailing about how much it rains in London on the stereo. And I'm just, like, I always get so bored with, like, these dumbass conversational topics. Like, as soon as somebody's just like, have you read The Fountainhead? Like, I check out a conversation. And yeah. So, like, I always steer it to music because that's totally, like, one of the few things that I'm, like, on the same page with, like, stereotypical hipsters. Because that's what we have. We've got the stereotypical ones here.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm always, like, totally on the same page with them, at least on a couple of bands. But then you get the ones that have really shitty taste there, too. And then that's when you just start making shit up. Like, oh, dude, have you heard fucking Digital and Purple's new album? No, man, no. Oh, man, it's called Purple Exists. You should check it out.
What?
I love them, man. I should totally check that album out. Yeah, like, did you hear their live album? Which one? Baby Butthole and the Snail Trail. Yeah! Dude, this is like, just combine words. Just say a bunch of things that sound vaguely like a band and an album, and hipsters will be all over it.
Baby Butthole on a Snail Trail.
And the Snail Trail, damn it. By Digital and Purple.
And they also have Purple Exists.
Yeah, that's their album. Their studio album.
Purple Exists.
Yeah.
Well, there you
go. Have you not heard it? Dude, Pitchfork gave it a fucking 9.5.
Okay, hey, you know, that's not going to work.
Like,
on
they would have given it a 10, but, like, the sound was too rough, which I think just makes it better, you know?
It's not going to work on me, man.
Well, yeah, because I fucking told you I bullshit. Like, I start these conversations at parties, people are so on board.
I once saw a video of this hipster chick pissing in a can.
Okay. How about that?
I know that sounds horrible, but like I think you showed it to me, actually.
Why would I show you that?
It was some kind of, like, quote-unquote art thing. She did something with spaghetti.
Oh, God, I did show you that.
And then she cut up her pants. Stop.
We don't need that.
Well, what else are we going to talk about on this show?
The wrestling.
No one's listening for the wrestling. They want to hear about the hipster chick who pisses in a can.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, and to think we got on this conversational path, like, from, like, Eddie Guerrero's mullet.
Yeah.
Like, Eddie Guerrero's mullet led to, like, SpaghettiOs in the Vagoo. Like, ah. We're so off course.
Just so off course.
So off course. Also off course fucking RVD. Like, did you see the spot where he missed his five-star? Like, right before the finish? Holy crap, he landed right on his face.
He did.
Like, his knees and his face were the first thing to hit the mat. I kind of felt bad for the guy, but at the same time, he's probably really baked, so...
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, like, that's not even a joke. Like, RVD looked high when he came out. Like, he probably didn't give a fuck about this show either.
Yeah. What was the deal with the referee in this match? Like, there was this spot where, RVD goes for a sunset flip, and Eddie's by the ropes, so Eddie holds onto the ropes to stay out of the sunset flip, and the referee kicks his hand away. Like, what the
well,
fuck?
I honestly don't know, like, why that's a thing, because even when I was a little kid, I would see shit like that, because Earl Hebner was known for doing this spot during the Attitude Era.
Uh-huh.
You know, where he just, like, the heel would grab the ropes to try to prevent a pinfall, and crotchety old Earl would walk over there, fuck you, and kick the leg out of the way.
But
give him the double
it's not even illegal.
Spit on him. Oh, no, it's not. Not until the five counts. But, yeah, it was weird. I think those damn refs were emboldened after their 99 strike. Like, Vince gave into too many of their demands. And then they thought they could just do whatever they wanted around there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll kick the shit out of somebody's arm. What are they going to do? Hit me? I'll disqualify a bit. And then I'll sell their t-shirts in the parking lot. That was Earl during the meeting. Oh, man. I'm so sad that we're getting past the point where Earl Hebner was more, like, active, like, in terms of storyline. Because, man, that dude was just not a good actor. Like, I'd rather watch Joe Estevez and Jim Belushi in a buddy cop movie than an Earl Hebner segment. And I really want to watch some Earl Hebner segments. So that just gives you an idea of how badly I want to see that awful movie I laid out. Make it happen, Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't know why it hadn't happened already.
Maybe.
Joe Estevez and Jim Belushi. Maybe it's because Jim Belushi sucks. That's probably the problem. Like, Jim Belushi's usually the problem. You know, actually, it's funny, though, that you brought up that spot with the ref kicking Eddie's legs. Well, kicking Eddie's arms. Because, you know, like I tied it into the strike there. And actually, some concessions made during the strike played into the finish. Which saw Eddie go for this Intercontinental title belt, because obviously RVD busting his face wasn't enough for Eddie to feel like he could securely, like, retain his title. Like, oh, I'm gonna hit him with this now.
Yeah.
Like, the ref tries to take the belt away, and Eddie's like, fuck off, and shoves him. The ref falls and just gets up and like, ah, no, you're disqualified in 11:23. That was, like, a super disappointing end to, like, what, honestly, like, in spite of our flippant review... And kind of us being all over the map was actually a pretty solid match for what it was. Like, it was 11 minutes of really nicely paced, really well-worked action. Like, Eddie and RVD always had this really great chemistry together, and it really shines through here.
And then the finish.
And then that damn finish. But at least we got an awesome five-star afterwards. Because RVD was having none of Eddie's shit, and he hit him in the face with his own belt. And then he hit this really great-looking five-star where the propulsion units came into effect, and he turned, like, 45 degrees midair to hit it. And I've always been a big fan of that move. Well, that variation of the five-star.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's check out what I can do. Fuck off, physics.
RVD ain't got time for your physics.
RVD does not have time for science, man. He's out there in space already. Speaking of being out there in space, we go backstage with Terry, who's with Jazz and Molly. And I noted here, Molly hates Terry, so does Jazz, so do I, and so does Goldust at this point.
Yeah.
Which you actually reminded me of how accurate that was by bringing up the plane ride from hell at the beginning of the episode. Terry was just terrible as a backstage interviewer.
Yeah, this is really just... terrible.
Yeah, this was just an awkward segment in general.
Like, it literally like, it literally only existed for Terry to get her boobs out. Like, that's...
Hey, something else happened in this segment, Asher.
What?
In the midst of Molly Holly's anti-diva promo, where she was scandalized that they wanted her and Jazz to reveal their breasts in the Divas video that they opted out of doing, she showed us some titties. Like, did you catch this part?
I did not.
I was watching on the WWE Network, and there's like this half a second where she fucking pops up. She's like, this is a major publication from this country. And
oh, like, yeah. I saw that. It was blurred out, though.
It wasn't on the network.
Oh, God.
I got to see tits on the WWE Network. Woo! Just throwing that out there, you guys. Like, what a day, like, what a time to be alive. Like, that was mind-blowing for me, because I remember, like, as a kid, you know, they would, stuff like this would happen, and, you know, it'd always be blurred out on the videos, like, watching it on, you know, this network, like, oh, hey, just totally saw tits on a WWF program.
Woo-woo!
What a weird time this was.
Olympic gold! Woo!
Yeah. And it's great, too, because she shows us tits and then talks about how if they win, it'll be a victory for morality. Like, you just showed me tits. Like, that's not a lot of... It's not you taking the moral high ground. Like, if you wanted to make your point, you'd be like, in this country, they publish magazines that are on display for everyone to see. Nudity right out there in the open. Like, you don't show me tits. Like... If you're trying to make a point that tits are bad, don't show them to me.
You will lose that argument every time.
Yeah, 10 times out of 10, you're going to lose the titties are bad argument.
Especially when you show titties.
Like, if you provide photographic evidence for your case, it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just go for me or for Asher. I'm sure it goes for most of the people listening, even the girls.
Especially the girls. Well, I don't know.
Like, boobs rule, you guys.
Yeah, we love the boobs.
And we love the women. And I don't mean that in a misogynist way. We're feminists here on the Ruthless Aggression podcast.
We are?
We are. But we fucking hated this match.
We did.
Like, after we get the horrified segment that really, as you said, just existed for Terry to get the line at the end about, you're just jealous because I have a better body. Let me show you. And, like, she just opened her shirt, and King had a fucking semen embolism.
Oh, God.
That's why he came so hard it fucking filled up his brain. That explains the rest of the show for his commentary.
Now I'm going to have to go through the rest of the show with that image in my head. Thank you, Hawk.
Well, it's not my fault you're imagining it. Just do what I do. Block it out.
I haven't learned how to do that, damn it.
You will, with the horrifying visuals that I'm going to paint over the course of this show.
Oh,
we still got a lot of timeline years left, and there's a lot of insanity to come. Like when Eddie covers the Big Show with feces.
Oh,
lots of it.
Lots of it. I've seen that segment before, actually.
Just brown, chunky, corny feces.
Yeah, I've seen that segment before.
Which is kind of the best way to describe this match. Like, it wasn't bad, but it, like, there wasn't a lot going on. Like, it didn't have a lot of consistency to it.
Yeah, like, King had this one really weird line here, where he said, you don't look at the mantelpiece while you're stoking the fire.
What?
Exactly, like, what?
Huh? And maybe you do if you've got something fascinating up there. My mantelpiece has a dick trophy.
A dick.
Of course I'm going to be looking at that. Yeah, have I not shown you pictures of this before?
Wow, that sounds awkward as hell. No, it's like that metal thing, right?
Yes, let me tell you the quick story of the dick trophy, listeners. When I was in college, I was hanging out in my dorm room one day. Then I heard a knock, knock, knock at the door. And told, you know, whoever was there to come in, because I didn't give a shit. Whoever it was could just come right in. And it was my buddy Brett, and he was brandishing this 16-inch, roughly, tall, very crudely welded together statue that's basically just like a bent metal base with like a couple of bars going across the top of it, and then like a long pole going up with like a medium-sized phallus. Very crudely. It's not even like, it has no real shape to it. Like, it just looks like a dick drawing you would see like as graffiti in a bathroom. And he said, "I'm giving you this." And I said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "'Cause I made it, and you're the biggest dick I know." And then he left. And, like, I was really confused just for, like, 3 days. Because, like, I didn't see this guy for, like, 3 days after that. But I very proudly displayed my trophy in the Phallus Palace, which is what my room was named after we received the dick trophy. Because you can't have the biggest dick on campus living in a room and not call it the Phallus Palace, because that's just too good to pass up. You have a testicle festival at the Phallus Palace, remember that.
Okay.
That's what we would call our doodly get-togethers, where we just get drunk and we get drunk and play Madden.
Fair enough.
That's what it was. But, so we labeled this thing the dick trophy, and then we just started started giving it away to our friends, like, I had it, and then my buddy Tuffles and I, who were roommates, we went to a lecture that was being given by our advisor, because he and I had the same major. And if we went to the lecture, we got bonus points in, like, all of his classes that we were taking, so it was totally worth going to. And we locked our door when we left, but what we didn't count on was our RA / really good friend, and a couple of our other really good friends taking all of our shit. They took it all out of our room and just put it in an empty room on the other end of the dorm and made us find it.
Those fucks.
Right? So as we were unpacking all of our things once we got to move back in, I looked at the three that were responsible for the moving of our shit, and I just said, "Who had the idea?" My buddy Peyton raised his hand. I reached into my cabinet, and he flinched, because I guess he thought I was going to hit him. I don't know, like, kind of weird. But I reached into my cabinet, and I grabbed the dick trophy, and I handed it to him, and I said, "You've earned it, my son." And then, cut to a couple months later. It's the end of semester already. We've kind of all moved back home, and Peyton texts me and says, "Hey, gave the dick trophy to Mitch." And I said, "Why?" And he told me, and I said, "Good call." And so a few weeks after that, Mitch texted me and said, "I gave the dick trophy back to Peyton." I said, "Why?" I got the story. "Good call." So for 3 years, this fucking trophy floated around to random people. And then it found its way back to me.
How'd you get it back?
I don't know. I think it has something to do with that time that I pulled a Patrick Bateman on my girlfriend at the time, who was cheating on me. Like, let's just say that there was a mirror placed in an opportune place.
Oh, God.
And I did what I needed to do to get the job done. And once I told my buddies about it, the dick trophy was back in my possession.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually staring at that right now. Staring at my dick.
Oh,
fuck.
This is an odd
show. I think I'm going to just cut out this whole fucking part about us talking about this fucking dick trophy. This is so fucking weird. So fucking bizarre. I wonder how many parts of that story I misremembered and or made up. Warning, a lot of that may or may not have actually happened. I have an awful memory.
Fair enough.
It probably all happened, just not at all within the time frame that I laid it out. Like, I said, like, 3 years. It probably was, like, 6 months. Like, I'm sure I had it back within a month of us all moving back into the dorm. There's a reason why I've kept it since 2011, you guys. Anyway, one thing I did notice during this match was the Kellamania sign from WrestleMania 19 was in effect here. Like, I was pretty stoked to... What? You sounded so, like, perplexed.
I am.
There was a sign that a lot of people listening will remember from WrestleMania 19. It was just a big red sign with a yellow Hulkamania font with a, like, a cartoon face drawing. And it said, Kellamania! And that sign was at this show.
Oh, okay. Well, how
so
about
that? So there you go. Yeah, I did, just a weird thing I noticed, but there you go. I needed something to keep me entertained during this match. We actually did get a pretty cool finish in this one. Like, this is almost the inverse of the first match. Like, the first match we really liked, but it had a shitty finish. And this match was really dull, but it had a really cool finish, I thought. Like, Jackie hit a tornado DDT on Molly. Trish hit a Stratisfaction on Jazz. They both got a pinfall at 7:40. I liked the finish, but everything else was just...
I thought it was stupid. I mean...
Too like, corny for you?
Well, I think of it this way. Like, why did he count both pins when only one member of each team was legal?
Because that's the way it works in wrestling.
No, it's not.
Okay, the unwritten rule of wrestling is if that two people from the same team have secured the pinfall after hitting their finisher, and it looks really fucking cool to count two pinfalls, you do it.
No. Just no. Uh-uh.
No.
Nuh-uh.
No, sir, I don't like it.
That is not what is happening.
That's exactly what happened, young man.
No, it didn't happen. It's a retcon.
Nope, didn't see it.
Never happened.
I closed my eyes during the finish. It means it never happened. This match is still going.
Oh, God.
Anyway, backstage, X-Pac has on Kane's mask, and he has nunchucks.
Again, for some reason.
Again!
Why does X-Pac. He have nunchucks?
X-Pac, the greasiest ninja you'll ever see. Just a greasy, greasy, dirty-looking man. Like, I'm sure Sean Waltman is a decent enough guy, but he's just a scumbag with nunchucks in this time period.
And a cane mask. Nunchucks?
Because he's X-Pac.
I'm here to rip ass on the World Wrestling Federation and to use nunchucks. Ah!
Sure, that was an actual promo he cut at some point. Fucking. And this promo was just not anything. Like, you could tell that neither one of these guys were either really there.
Yeah.
Like, X-Pac was just ready to be done with it seemed like, and Hall was still at the hotel bar. Like, X-Pac says, if I don't beat Bradshaw tonight, I'm never coming back to this stinking country. And then, like, Hall goes, you want me to come with you, brother? And X-Pac says, I need to take care of this on my own. And he, like, leaves, right? And so Scott Hall goes,
I don't understand why you want to come back here anyway.
And it's like, yeah, his eyes were half closed, and very inebriated Scott Hall.
I'm just laughing
point.
At your Scott Hall impression. That's amazing.
Amazing in a good way?
Amazing in a good way.
Okay, good.
Oh my God.
Good, Chico. Now that we've started doing this show, and like I've started throwing that out there every time I say fucking Scott Hall or like bring him up,
Chico,
I've started saying it in my real life.
Oh God!
Like I threw an order back in the kitchen the other day and went order in Chico, and the Mexican guy on the other side of the line went what? And I went, oh sorry, I was watching a Razor Ramon match earlier, and he went say no more.
Nice.
Like, at least he understood.
Yeah.
Then again, he calls me white kid, so...
Fair enough.
Like, I think it's a little bit of a give and take there.
Yeah, there's a lot of casual racism flying around here.
Well, it's really great, too, because I've literally known this kid since I was 14. And he nicknamed me White Kid Kyle. Breaking kayfabe, guys, there's my real name. He called me that a few weeks ago at work because he fucking forgot my name. Like, he couldn't think of what to yell out, so he went like, "White kid!" And like, I looked up because like, I just assumed he meant me because like, I was the only waiter. So, like, okay, and I went back there and he's like, "Oh." And he's like, "Your name is Kyle, I remember now." And I'm like, "You fucking forgot?" And he's like, "Yeah." Like, "Is that why you called me white kid?" He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." It gets the job done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go. There
you go. What doesn't get the job done? Xbox nunchucks.
Yeah.
The most inefficient of all weapons, I think, that anyone has ever brought to the ring regularly with them.
Yeah, like, one thing I remember from this is, like this promo... is, like, it was heavily implied that X-Pac was planning to fuck Bradshaw in the ass.
In what way do you figure?
He said, I can't remember exactly what the line was, but he was like, he said, "I'm gonna do to Bradshaw's ass what I did to Kane," or someone like that.
Well, he didn't fuck the mask off Kane, if that's what you're implied.
He said he was going to do things to Bradshaw's ass.
I think he meant it like he was just going to beat it. Like, "I'm going to beat that big dumb Texan's ass, much like I beat Kane's ass and stole his mask. And now I wear it to the ring, despite it likely smelling horrifying."
Nah, he was planning on fucking Bradshaw in the ass.
He's probably planning to get to Bradshaw before Bradshaw could get to him.
Yeah. In the show.
You know, allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, come on. We have... allegedly is not a word on this podcast.
Literally every time we bring something like that up, I think, actually.
If someone says that something happened, it happened.
We'll take... the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. We'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That's our motto now.
Yeah. Like, we'll become a dirt sheet, and, like...
"You know, guys, I heard that Kane is supposed to be joining a new DX. And he'll be getting a green and black attire. Follow the show's Twitter for an official picture release." It's not a green and black Kane attire, though. It's like a business suit.
Yeah.
Like a green tie. And a black shirt. Oh, he's DX Kane, you guys.
He is.
Corporate DX Kane.
Woo woo.
Oh, we're getting so far off topic.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that
one thing I did
show,
notice...
like, that just goes to show how much there was to pay attention to on this show.
Really, really does.
I mean,
one
like,
thing
I
did
take notes... but there's really not much to say.
That's kind of how I felt about watching this show. Like, I almost felt like I was taking notes out of obligation through
yeah,
most of it.
That's literally what I was doing. Like, there was one or two situations where I was like, "Well, fuck yeah, I'm writing that down." But
yeah,
most part it was just like, "Oh, I guess I better write that down so I don't forget."
Yeah, one thing I felt the need to note, though, was that NWO referee Nick Patrick... was the referee for this match, which seems like a bit of a conflict of interest.
That fucking guy.
This fucking guy. Heel of the show, Nick Patrick. One other thing I felt the need to note was a sign in the audience that said, "Hall fears beer," which was actually
not.
The exact opposite of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, if he had been a bit more beerophobic, then maybe he wouldn't have had some of the issues he was having. Just saying.
Yeah.
Get your head in the game, fan, with the sign. One thing I also felt this match needed was a lot more of X-Pac getting stiffed. Just, he needed to get a beating just for being greasy and annoying,
yeah.
I felt. I cannot express to you just how much I dislike X-Pac of this era.
Yeah, this was just bad. Like, one thing I really didn't get, like, Bradshaw is bleeding, like, late in the match. And then after exposed turnbuckle spot. And
which,
then
X-Pac took, like, fucking 5 hours exposing the turnbuckle before the match.
Yeah, like, he's bleeding, and he gets hit with nunchucks, and he kicks out. But he gets pinned by a low blow and a weak-ass facebuster.
And an X-Factor, all right?
It's a weak-ass facebuster.
Everything X-Pac did was weak in this match, though. Like, he really was not made to look super good at any point. I think a lot of that, though, could be attributed to the fact that Bradshaw just did not give a fuck.
Maybe it's just because X-Pac sucks.
Which was a chant that we got, like, 3 different times during this match.
Yeah.
Like, the UK fans really wanted it to be known that X-Pac sucks.
Well, we agree.
We agree.
We here at the Ruthless Aggression Podcast agree with you.
You fine Londoners.
From 12 years ago.
From 12 years ago. No, Londoners would probably still agree that X-Pac sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a universal truth, as JR said. As you said, he got kicked in the groin. Like, after, like, Scott Hall took a clothesline from hell here. Like, he stumbled his way out to the ring with the nunchucks. And, like, he used them on Bradshaw, and Bradshaw kicked out. And then he went for a clothesline from hell on X-Pac, and, like, hit Scott Hall instead, because Pac dodged it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he took a punch to the dick because Nick Patrick was distracted. X-Factor, pinfall, 847. Holy shit, let's move on to the Undertaker promo with the coach.
Yeah.
Which, did you enjoy this? Because we know you've been loving the Undertaker.
I did, I liked it.
And, like, the gist of the promo was, I'm going to beat the shit out of Triple H. And to that I say, good.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
I'm all right. I'm on board with this one, Booker Red. Like, you get us there. I'm fine with this. But
it
was great, though, because not often would he use, catchphrases from that Phenom time period during this kind of American Badass Big Evil phase. But he ended this promo with saying that, like, all of Triple H's hopes and dreams were going to rest in peace. And, like, even the coach looked surprised. He's like, what the fuck did you just say? Not your catchphrase anymore.
It is.
So you're
going to
make him famous.
Are you going to tell Undertaker that he can't have a catchphrase, especially this Undertaker?
I'm not going to tell Undertaker shit.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Just nod, and if you absolutely have to say something, you better make sure it's yes, sir.
Yeah, because otherwise he's going to tape them fist and break your legs.
Exactly.
This next match, holy shit, why did this happen? Stevie Richards versus Booker T for the hardcore title. Asher, you've been kind of vocal about your support of this title. What'd you think of this one?
It was okay, I guess. Like, there's not really much to write home about. I mean, Booker T beat the shit out of Steven Richards, whatever.
Booker used a broom at one point, which I kind of marked out for.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And, like, he hit him with a tray and stuff. Like, this match was mostly just Booker T beating up Steven Richards.
Yeah, like, Steven Richards was wearing pants he looked to have borrowed from MC Hammer.
Exactly. So I'd want to beat the guy up, too.
Yes. Actually, when we last left the hardcore title, Maven was our champion. Now it's Steven Richards, who won it from Bubba Dudley during a match that Bubba was having with Jazz.
Jazz.
Jazz, the woman. The women's champion, Jazz.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yes, the one that was in a match that we reviewed like half an hour ago.
Did we really review that match, though? Like, did we even talk about who was in it? Who was in that match? It was...
It was Trish and Jackie against Molly and Jazz, and it was kind of dull. I liked the finish, you did not.
Okay. Alright, I don't remember now.
Yeah, that match happened.
It did. And that's all we can really say about it. Moving on.
Moving on. This match was a lot of weird, weird shit. Like you said, like, it was really just Booker beating up Stevie. But then, like, we got to the finish where Booker actually went for a scissors kick and Stevie just fucking nailed him with a Stevie kick. Which I thought was just fucking dynamite.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, but what the fuck kind of a name is the Stevie kick?
Well, you see, his name is Stevie Richards.
And he does a kick. Yeah, I get that.
And he does
a
kick.
Shit.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's what he's got. What he doesn't got is the victory, though, because Booker wins with the bookend in 10:32. But his joy is to be short-lived as Crash Holly runs out to roll up Booker T and win the title. And then Booker, like while Crash is celebrating, Booker just runs up and hits him with a scissors kick to win the title.
Again.
Like, very much like his WCW title reigns, his hardcore title reigns came in quick succession as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost expected him to be a five-time hardcore champion by the end of the night. Then we got Just Incredible and Tommy Dreamer, who, if there's anybody who was more misnamed after this fucking show, it was Just Incredible. Because neither he nor Tommy Dreamer, while working together, could put Booker T down to win the hardcore title.
They set up a table and they tried to put him through it. That didn't work out so well. Booker clears the ring. And then Steven Richards runs in. Like, he kind of flapjacks Booker into the through the table.
Jazz helped him.
Yeah,
Jazz
helped him.
Stevie.
He tries to flapjack Book through the table. It doesn't work the first time, so he does it again. It works that time, and he pins him for the title.
Well, it was actually, like, a really weird sequence, because, like, Booker tried for the spinneroonie, and he botched it. Like, he got up to, like, a point where, like, he was just on the back of his head, and the rest of his body was in the air.
Yeah.
And then, like, he just fell. And then he got dropped into the table, and then he got pinned for, like, it looked like it was supposed to be the finish, but, like, he kicked out. And then they just do the exact same spot again, complete with the same pinfall.
Mm.
So, Stevie Richards, hardcore champion again.
Woo!
That was,
I guess.
Yeah, that was 13 minutes of something.
Like, it was weird, too, because, like, after Stevie Richards left, like, Booker T stands up and they play his music.
Yeah.
Like, you just lost.
Like, we don't care that Booker just lost. Like, England loved Booker during
yeah,
the show, though.
Well, to be fair, like, how can you not love Booker T?
I don't understand how anybody could not love Booker, especially during this time period where he really was just at his most entertaining, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, not very entertaining, though, was Sean Stasiak, whose gimmick was that he was a fucking space cadet.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this segment?
Oh, God. Like, Brock Lesnar was, like, he reminded me of, like, a roided-up Timothy Oliphant in this segment.
Okay.
Did you get that impression?
I did not. But now I'm going to go back and rewatch it specifically because you said that.
Fair enough. But yeah, like, Stasiak, like, fucking, like, Heyman tells Stasiak to, like, basically just stand on the apron while Brock Lesnar beats the shit out of the Hardys. And Stasiak is like, well, I don't want to do that. And then Heyman's well, like, you're gonna, okay? And then that's basically what the segment was.
And Lesnar was like, if you don't do what Heyman says, I'm going to kick your ass again. Exactly. He's already kicked his ass before.
Yeah.
You'd think Stasiak would have wised up by now, but no.
Well, if if Brock Lesnar kicked your ass, if the Minnesota Murder Machine kicked your ass, and then he told you that you were going to team up with him, and imagine you just had to stand on the apron, you would stand on that goddamn apron, and you would do it with pride.
Well, yeah, because I'm not an idiot.
Exactly. Which is, like, we can't say the same for Sean Stasiak, though. Who is an idiot.
He totally pulled a Leroy Jenkins at the beginning of this match, because it was Lesnar and Sean Stasiak with Paul Heyman against the Hardys, back in the good old days when Jeff Hardy was still allowed to enter the UK. Between Backlash and now, both Hardys have been nearly murdered and eaten by Lesnar. Lita's broken her neck in an entirely unrelated incident.
How did Lita break her neck?
She was filming the TV show Dark Angel with Jessica Alba.
Uh-huh.
And she tried to do her own stunts.
Oh, God. Like, God, like, Lita, does, like, she's a wrestler and she breaks her neck recording a TV show.
Well, she's a wrestler, not a stunt woman, damn it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just not a good time for Team Extreme. Matt and Jeff were just about to split up for what would be permanently, actually. They were already split somewhat, I think, because of the draft at this point. But as I said, like, Stasiak just pulls a total fucking Leroy Jenkins and does the fucking charge to the ring, which I got excited about because it meant we were going to see three fucking beatings tonight.
Yeah.
Like, that was A-okay with me.
Yeah.
One thing I noted, though, was when JR was explaining Lita breaking her neck, like, King was like well, why is she not here tonight? And she had surgery on Tuesday. Because, like, when he asked why she wasn't there, JR's like, she had surgery to fix her broken neck on Tuesday. And King's like, what, is she not a professional? She can't be here? You know, she can still walk. You're a dick, King.
Just go away, King. Please.
Go away, alright.
Go away 12 years ago, King.
He had another line where JR said that Sean Stasiak only does what the voices in his head tell him to. And then King said, I only do what the voices in my pants tell me to do. Like teenagers. Oh.
This fucking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so done with his pervert act already. I really wish he would tone it down, but I know that he's not going to, and that saddens me, because we've got so much more of this to come. Like, is there anything in particular you want to say about this match? Because it really was just like, Stasiak got worked over early, Lesnar forced a tag in just the best way possible, because he prevented Stasiak from taking the Poetry in Motion, and then he dragged him to their corner and then tagged him.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So then he got in, fucking wrecked both of the Hardys. Like, there were some weird cuts during my viewing of this, though, because, like, for instance, Matt was in control 1 second. He was on the second rope, and he did his corner scream. I got to hear the scream, you know, aah!
The crazy mountain man scream.
The crazy mountain man scream, and then the next thing I know, fucking Lesnar was slamming him. Like,
yeah.
It was just the
That's
weirdest...
How it works.
Right? I'm not sad on losing out on a few minutes of this show, though.
Yeah.
That's just it. So, this match was just really an ass-kicking until Stasiak tagged himself in after Lesnar runs into a post. The Hardys double team Stasiak. Jeff wins with a Swanton in 6:54. Lesnar wrecks all three, and then we're done.
Woo! Thanks, Brock. You're a pal.
Right? Thank you, buddy. You're the savior of this show. Like, can we just declare Brock Lesnar the MVP right now? Because
yeah.
That was honestly my favorite part of the show, was just watching him, like, wreck people for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tie him with Booker for the most entertaining people.
Makes sense to me.
Because I did not list MVPs for this show. We go to a video about some kind of insurrection charity dinner auction thing that they didn't really explain. Yeah, they didn't really explain it, and then just backstage with Coach and William Regal. Regal.
The crowd was like, yay, Regal. And they're like, wait a second, he's saying stuff about us.
He hates us. And then by the time he made it out to the ring, they're like, we like him again. Like, the gist of his promo was that he's like, he's the champion that Europe needs, but not the champion it deserves.
Yeah.
And, like, Spike, let's be honest, kind of won the title like a dick. Like, he clocked Regal with his own brass knuckles before the opening bell of their match, and then pinned him, and that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
European champion. Woo-hoo. There's a sign in the crowd, though, that said, Regal, your mum's a lizard. What? Like, I know that we have quite a contingency of listeners in the UK. So if any of you would care to explain what your mum's a lizard is supposed to mean outside of William Regal's mother is a fucking scaly animal.
A reptile.
Yeah, a reptile. Let me know.
I think that's, I think it just means that Regal's mom is a reptile.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Probably not too deep of a sign.
Yeah.
Regal was in control early, but Spike went for a Dudley dog. He actually got flipped out of it, just immediately collapsed, and started swearing hard. He's like, shit! Fucking felt something pop, god damn it, shit, motherfucker, damn.
Was this a worked injury, or was it for real?
I'm actually not certain. As I literally finished watching the pay-per-view before we started recording this... I did not have time to really do any research. I believe it was a work, though, just because, you know, they continued the match.
Yeah.
Like, if it were an actual injury, it would have been just done. But instead, Regal actually worked the leg. You know, he made it look like he was actually trying to fucking hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not a lot to be said. Worked injury match, not really a lot of fun. Over in 4:56 when Spike rolls Regal up to retain the European title.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just immediately on to the next match. Steve Austin versus The Big Show. How excited are you for this, Asher?
Not excited at all. Just...
What did you...
Not at all.
What did you think of the video package before the match, though? Because I actually kind of liked this one.
I don't remember it.
It was actually just a recap of basically everything that's happened since Backlash. Like, they addressed what you and I discussed last week with Flair looking directly at Austin's foot on the rope.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And we got the awesome JR line. Well, you can't exactly expect Ric Flair to see through with The Undertaker. Which, fair enough, JR, fair enough.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point. So it was great, though, because Big Show turned heel on Austin. Like, to join the NWO, which gave me just the biggest WCW flashback, because he did this like 8 or 9 times, bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Like 30 or 40 times, at the least. Like, at the very, very minimum, 75 times he did this in WCW.
75. Look, like, is that a joke, or did he literally join them that many times?
A conservative estimate, 193. No, but he really did, like, bounce in and out of the NWO several times, like, even into the WWF, which I think is hilarious. But, this starts off with Flair actually coming out to be like, Steve Austin's the man, and I'm going to be the ref.
Woo.
On the outside. Which actually led to me putting in my notes, so Nick Patrick is the ref in the ring, Flair is outside. We've got bad reffing all around.
Yeah.
This match was the pits.
Do we even need to talk about it?
We need to talk about it just to do our duty as podcasters. But we don't have to talk about it much. This was 16 minutes of just stalling for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of fell asleep twice during this match.
Really?
Almost. But we did get two really great things that I loved in this match. One was a bizarre commentary line.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the Big Show apparently living in India and eating a ton of curry as a diet.
Okay. Yeah,
spicy curry, nonetheless. And then Big Show, early on, looks at Austin and goes, I'm going to break you in half. And Austin is like, oh, yeah, well, fuck you, and gives him the finger.
That's basically how Austin reacted to things like that. Just like, oh, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm going to have a beer, and another beer, and another beer, some more beer. I'm gonna hit a stunner, and another stunner.
And another stunner.
Three stunners.
And another stunner.
How many stunners do you want me to hit?
Drink another beer. Pay one of those gimmicks they send you in the mail called bills. What? Suck a dick for a title. What? Hit another son of a bitch with a stunner. What? Listen to an arrow or go off. What?
Yeah, this match actually almost incited madness in me.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it was so much stalling, and it was just so much tertiary things happening. Like, Austin did this really great spot where he had Show on the ground, and he looks at Nick Patrick, and he points out in the crowd. And, like, Nick Patrick looks at the crowd, Austin just stops Show right in the dick. Which I thought was great. And actually, from commentary during this match, I learned Steve Austin and I have the same shoe size.
Huh.
Go figure. American size 12. What up? Perfect for stomping mud holes and or walking them dry. Apparently.
You know what? It's been far too long since someone told us how big Albert's head is.
I believe it's 8 3/8.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Albert's head.
Yep.
Weekly segment on this show, how big is Albert's head?
Yes.
JR was going nuts with the stats on Big Show during this match, too.
Yeah, he had another size-gasm, yeah.
Yeah, like, we got to, hey, that man's got to wear a size 20 ring! Like, JR got super excited.
That's his fetish.
Imagine what he could do with those sausage fingers.
Oh, God. Boomer Sooner!
Well, you know, Big Show once exposed himself to a hotel clerk. And was released when he was arrested. Yeah, he was arrested for showing his dick to a hotel clerk in Memphis, Tennessee, no less. Only an hour north of, no, an hour south of where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
Pulled his dick out. The cops showed up and said, hey, you can't be showing your dick to people. You're going to jail. And after they had him for a few hours, they're like, oh, well, we'll let you go due to lack of evidence.
Like, why did he show his dick to a hotel clerk? Was he trying to get it in, or?
I don't know. Like, you can never get inside the mind of a giant. Especially one that's going to run around showing his penis to hotel clerks.
Maybe we should tweet him and ask.
Like, I've never even seen a hotel clerk that I thought I would want to show my dick to.
Really?
Like, not even a closing time cute drunk, like, clerk.
Well, there you go.
I must stay at some really shitty hotels, judging by the surprise in your voice. Like, I see hotel clerks I'd stick it to all the time. Not even staying in hotels, just, like, walking by. I see them through the windows.
Yeah.
Like, hey, baby, what's happening? You want some Asher? I host a podcast. They love me in Germany.
I learned a few things while I was over there. You want to see them?
You went to Germany? Did you try to win our one German listener back since he did not join us last week?
Yeah, I went to Germany between last week's show. I didn't actually go to Germany. That didn't happen at all.
That didn't happen.
That
no.
did not happen. Like, someone was really confused for a second. Like, what?
What? Or that guy's, like, listening again this week. He's like, "What? Wait, what?
Yeah.
He came to Germany and I missed him?" That's why you gotta pay attention to the Twitter, guys. We announced the meet and greets on there.
Implying we have meet and greets.
Later on this week, Asher will be at the pizza place down the block. If anybody wants to grab a slice and talk wrestling, because I know about a lot of Australians listen to this show. And I was going to say a number, but I didn't have one, so I'm just like, about a lot of them.
Yeah.
in the approximate vicinity of several. The dozens and dozens of Australian listeners.
Oh, do we really even have a dozen in Australia, though?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Oh, okay. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, we have more Australian listeners than Canadian listeners, so.
I think I know one of them.
Step it up, Canada.
Yeah, step it up, Canada. Come on.
Get your shit together. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Canada.
Canada.
So, this match went just as off the rails as this did. Because the fans, like this, the last few minutes of this match were great because the fans started chanting, "You fat fuck," at the Big Show.
Yeah.
But, like, there was totally a, do you hear what they're saying? They're chanting, "Let's go Sheamus" moment. Because they're just like, the fans chanting, "You fat bastard." And, like, King runs into the ground like, "Oh, are you sure they're not talking to you, JR?" JR has enough of his shit. He's like, "All right, enough of that. That joke's run its course. Get a new one, you fucking bastard."
Oh, God. If JR just, like, snapped and called King a fucking bastard on the, like, live on the show.
Yeah.
All my money.
I would travel to Oklahoma specifically to high-five him.
Yeah.
And I've made a vow never to go to Oklahoma.
Is there a story behind that?
No. Nope. Just Oklahoma, man. The Great Plains, you know? There's nothing there except Oklahomans.
Oklahoma.
And nothing against you guys, but, like, I don't want to come to, like, visit, like, to see people. Like, I want to see stuff. And, like, I can't name, like, six things that are in, like, I can't name three things that are in Oklahoma that aren't people. Like, I can name locations but not attractions. Like, Tulsa is in Oklahoma. What the fuck is in Tulsa? If they're, like, if anybody from Oklahoma is listening, like, please feel free to sell me on Tulsa.
Yeah.
Or you know, any other Oklahoma towns you may suggest. Like, who knows? I may be missing out on a lot by not going to Oklahoma. But I don't feel like anybody missed out by not seeing this match, because it really just ended with Kevin Nash came out with nunchucks.
For some reason.
And he was suspended. So, like, he came to the UK specifically to take a stunner.
Yeah.
And, like, all of this was, like, after, like, the ref took a bump, Austin hit a stunner on the Big Show, the fucking bastard with the air horn went nuts. Fuck
that
the guy
fucking
with the air horn.
If you're listening, man, fuck you, seriously.
Seriously, 12 years ago, you were a dick.
Yeah.
So, air horn guy goes fucking nuts. Hall and Pac kind of stumble their way out. Flair chases them off with a mop.
Yeah.
The best thing Flair has done on this show so far was chasing the NWO away with a mop.
Why are the NWO scared of Ric Flair, though? He's an old dude. There's three of them.
Get him up!
I don't care.
He's gonna clean up the NWO. Woo!
I got attacked with a mop once, and I was fine.
Yeah, well, drunk people do stupid shit, Asher. And if that means running away from a 50-something-year-old man with saggy boobs and a mop, what they're doing.
Fair enough.
So, it took 16 minutes for us to get to this point, but Austin hits two stunners, pins the Big Show, Flair chased off Kevin Nash with a chair, and then, like, he got super excited about Steve Austin. He's like, "You're the man! You did it! Woo!
Woo!
I kept the NWO away! No interference!
Woo!"
Woo! And then, like, he's like, "Sorry!" You know, like, for backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin's like, "Oh, you want to drink a beer? Let bygones be bygones."
What?
Okay. And so, like, they drink a beer, but no, Flair takes a stunner. Like, Austin completely whiffed the kick on this one.
Yeah.
Still hits the stunner though. Like, he was not at all deterred.
Mm-hmm.
And just Like, that was the end of it. Like, he finished off his beers and then he left. And that was the end of the enjoyable portion of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now we have, actually, and it's weird too, because this match was just like the only really, like, one that had any real build to it, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, I could not be at all less interested in this match.
Yeah, like, I was ring broke at one point. Well, the top rope got busted.
Well, yeah. Like, these two guys, like, they had fought across both brands for several weeks lead up to this. So, once again, brand interaction, just like a month into the split. Taker cost Triple H a title shot. Just, this match was super formulaic. The best part, I thought, actually, was either JR saying, Triple H jerking The Undertaker off.
Yeah.
The top rope. Like, he took an exorbitantly long pause. Like, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, we're on to you, JR. You're not sliding that past us. So, actually, there was a sign in the crowd, too, that said, time to play the same, which, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one, UK fan.
You're all right.
Yeah, like, this was just another one of those matches, was just, like, 15 minutes and not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like, we got these two brawling to the outside. As you mentioned, the top rope broke at one point. They actually ended up breaking one of the fittings for the turnbuckle by doing an Irish whip into the fucking corner, which was actually kind of awesome sounding.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear these.
They kept.
Like, you could hear these fans react to it.
Yeah, they kept doing stuff with the like corners and stuff as well. Like, Undertaker hit Snake Eyes, which was stupid because, like, the top rope had no tension to it.
Right. My favorite part was when The Undertaker hung himself crotch first on the ropes.
Yeah.
And, like, and they were just, like, they were sagging underneath him. Like,
he was just standing.
Yeah, he was just standing there, like, oh. It's like, there's no way that hurts you.
Like, at all.
Unless you are incredibly blessed. But, yeah, like, this match just, like, I guess they did okay with what they could do. Like, you could kind of tell that this was somewhat a night off for these guys. Like, they were doing their usual spots, but not with the same vigor that you would expect.
Yeah.
Until we got a huge chokeslam for the near fall, which is when I noted that this match was actually, it seemed like the crowd was pretty 50-50 on it.
Yeah.
They
were okay on it, I guess.
Yeah, Undertaker gets a near fall. Triple H manages to get a pedigree. 14-29. Triple H is your winner, and that's the end of the show. Like, it just ends right there.
Yep.
Like, see you later, folks. We'll see you on Monday as a new brand.
Woo!
Woo! And that's Insurrection 2002, you guys. Asher, MVP, LVP.
Brock Lesnar, as we said earlier, MVP, because, yeah, he just beat the fuck up on people.
I'll take Booker for MVP then, because
right.
I really enjoyed some of his stuff during the hardcore match.
Yeah, that was good. Least valuable player, Ric Flair, because fuck that guy.
I would actually say Nick Patrick.
Well, we're covering all the bases here.
Yeah, like, nobody stood out as being particularly bad. Like,
yeah.
It seemed like everyone on this show was really just very middle of the road. Like, even for the very limited what he did, Sean Stasiak did a good job on this show.
Yeah.
You know, like, his role was to be, like, the stupid goof that was, you know, just aloof and, you know, didn't really get that his place wasn't in the ring in, you know, that match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he served a purpose.
He did.
Most of these other fucks did nothing good. What about match of the night?
Mr. Perfect versus Goldust.
The dark match we didn't see. Match of the night.
I'm not even. That's not even a joke answer.
Yeah, I'm going to go Eddie and RVD, which was a lot of fun, had potential to be a really good match. kind of down with the finish, but close enough to a good match for me to say match of the night. What about worst match?
Divas tag match.
Yes. The match that you forgot that we reviewed, I think, has to win worst match of the night.
Every night.
Every night. And it's just going to get better next week. Because, guess what we have on next week's show?
What?
Trish Stratus versus Stacy Keibler for the Women's Championship.
I'm sure that's going to be a wrestling clinic.
Oh, well, it can't be any worse than Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman against the Hardys.
Oh, God.
We're going to get a lot of just solid gold on these next on this next few shows. And I mean that in the worst way possible. Next week, you can join us as we review Judgment Day 2002, held May 19th from the Gaylord Event Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Fun fact, my uncle was there.
Woo!
Yeah. So maybe I'll text him and see what he thought of the show.
Right on.
Yeah. We'll get the Uncle Hawk's view on things. Asher, you have nothing to promote. So is there any final words, parting message? Oh, wait, we're fucking forgetting to do a score. I'm giving this a 2 because I forgot to rate it.
I'm giving this a 5 because it happened.
Okay, solid enough reasoning for me.
Yeah.
We're so professional on this show.
we're talking about dick trophies and...
Yeah, like, half of this episode has nothing to do with this episode. This is just a fucking... It's a mess of an episode. But this was a mess of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we can get away with it this week.
Yeah.
So, guys, we're going to go ahead and be done with the show for this week. You can follow us at Ruthless Podcast on Twitter. Hopefully... We're going to be on Botchamania this week. Matthew and I have kind of had some issues getting in touch with each other just because we basically live opposite schedules. So, yeah. But we're working our way slowly but surely towards being Botchamania official. So, woo! But you can check us out on the website, ruthlessaggressionpodcast.blogspot.com. Where we've got basically just an archive of all the episodes, and that's all you'll find there. The good stuff is on the Twitter, so follow that.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week, though, for Judgment Day 2002.